In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody loves John 3:16 as the gospel in a nutshell. Of course, there are other places in the scripture that serve the same purpose, if you will. One of those being 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. St. Paul has listed, previous to this, all the various sins and desires and lusts of the flesh, which are contrary to the Spirit with which we have been called, by whom we have been named in Christ, in the water anointed with his name, and which even some have suffered shipwreck of their faith for, and have been handed over to Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. That is, that they might be chastened, they might be disciplined, that they would be called actually to repentance, not handed over to Satan, as though the be-all, end-all, they're gone and lost, but that they would be recalled to repentance. For when Paul can say that he is the first and foremost of all sinners, this is a confession of his unworthiness. It is a confession of his sin. Certainly he recounts his previous way of life, that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And yet God has had mercy upon him. God has called him to faith in Jesus Christ. For it is one such as this that Jesus has come into the world to suffer for those sins, to suffer for that blasphemy, that aggression, and that persecution, to suffer for every Christian's blood whom Saul would shed in hatred. Jesus has come to shed his blood for Saul. How much more then has he come for you? I'm willing to bet that nobody here has persecuted the church of God with violence. Nobody has acted aggressively in anger and in hatred toward their brothers and sisters in Christ or toward the church. And yet all have sinned. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom you, specifically and individually, are first and foremost. There is no one sin greater than another. There is no sinner who is a worse sinner or less a sinner than another. All have sinned, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. All deserve to be handed over to Satan and to be condemned to hell. And yet God is merciful and gracious. Even as he was with Nehemiah, that he would be bold before the Persian king and provide a place and a refuge for his people, so he is with you and provides a place and a refuge for you even now in this life, in this place, in this church, where he dwells amongst you in his word and holy sacraments. Because it is for sinners like you, whether you have blasphemed in thought, word, and deed, whether you have broken all the commandments in thought, word, and deed, doesn't matter how you've broken them, the fact is you have broken them. And at the root of them all is the fact that you do not place all of your fear, love, and trust in God, the Holy Trinity, alone. Because if the law is summed up that you love and serve God by loving and serving your neighbor, then to hate and despise your neighbor is in fact to hate and despise God himself. And it is to blaspheme by saying that the death of Christ was wasted on this one, or the death of Christ was wasted on that one, and so on and so forth. All have sinned. There is no one who is innocent, no one who is righteous in and of themselves. If it were possible, then the law would have been given for the righteous. But it's given for sinners, that you may know your sin, that you may know exactly how it is that you do not measure up to the standard which God desires for you. But as it shows you your sin, as it shows you how you cannot and do not and fail to measure up, so also, in its exacting precision, it shows you the one who has. It shows you our Lord Jesus Christ, who has come into this world, who has come into this flesh, to keep the law perfect in every last dot and tittle, in every single one of its parts, in whole, perfectly at all times. There are no little white lies that come from his mouth. There are no loopholes or exceptions that he seeks out. He fulfills the law perfectly and completely by every word that he speaks, by every deed that he does. Whether it's healing the sick, making the blind to see, or as we heard Sunday in the gospel, raising the dead to life. He is keeping the law perfectly. And he keeps it nowhere more perfectly than as he submits to its demands, as he submits to its penalties, as he submits to its punishment. As his flesh is ripped from his body, as his beard is pulled from his cheeks and chin, as thorns are pressed into his head, as nails rip through his flesh, as he suffers the full abandonment of God for sin, as he suffers the full fire and wrath of God for sin and the fires of hell. The full weight of the law's accusations are placed upon Jesus on the cross. That even as you see, as it shows you how you do not measure up because all have fallen short of the glory of God, and it shows you exactly how you have fallen short. So in that way, it shows you the one who measures up in your stead and in your place. It shows you the one delivered over as a lamb to the slaughter without complaint in his mouth. As it shows you the one offered up as a whole burnt and fragrant offering to God for sin and for propitiation and for reconciliation. As it shows you the lamb without spot or blemish, was offered up in place of Isaac, caught by his horns in the thicket, that Isaac may get off the altar and Jesus get on. Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners by suffering their punishment, by suffering their penalty, by dying the death that was yours rightfully to die. And by so dying, by so shedding his blood, he would extinguish those fires of wrath, that he would extinguish the fires of hell, that he would extinguish the flaming sword of the cherub, blocking the way to the tree of life, and that through the passageway of his flesh, you would have access to his God and Father, who is now your God and Father. That you would have safe access through his flesh to the cruciform tree of life, and to reach out your hand and to eat and to drink what God has in fact given for you and for your sake, the body and blood of his dear Son offered up on your behalf and in your place, that you may eat his flesh and drink his blood and receive the full and complete forgiveness of your sins by virtue of his passion, death, and resurrection. That you would eat the sign, seal, and guarantee of your own bodily resurrection in Christ on the last day. That you would have a foretaste of the feast to come, at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. For the Lord your shepherd has prepared a table for you in the presence of all your enemies. You shall eat and drink unafraid, even as he brings you through the valley of the shadow of death. Because Jesus Christ has come into the world to save you. In Jesus' name. Amen.